Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Ches. Shabbos Yud Ches, as we are towards the end of the first parak, another three blot left of the first parak. Today has a big discussion of Lamaisa activities, a couple of malachas that come up. Our first foray into the malacha of Bishul will come up today. Obviously, the main discussions of Bishul will be in the third parak, in Parakira, but today we have a little bit of it among other malachas and important issues that come up. Okay, we start with the Mishnah on daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Beis Shammai Omrim. So this is a totally new section of the parak. Up until now, the past couple of vod have been about the 8 Yud Ches Dvarim, the 18 halakha that were made in the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiah ben Gurion, from based on the Mishnah on daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, where one of these halachas was decided. Then we had a discussion: was it the previous ones? Was it the following ones? So these might be some of the halachos. But we also, that was the Gemara's discussion on Yud Gimel Amid Beis. We ended up saying Shvamina ve'elutran, and these are the malachos. These are the halachos that were decided then. We said it had to do with actions that were about Erev Shabbos and about on Shabbos in terms of reading or haner. And now we get into new discussions. Beis Shammai Omer. Beis Shammai says, so we're about to get into the sugya of Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas Kalim. We know on Shabbos that I am not allowed to do work, and my wife is not allowed to do work, my kids aren't allowed to do work, and it's my responsibility to make sure nobody does work. What about my animals? That's also included. Right, the animals are also included. Is that the rice? Is that the rabbanon? We'll get to the sugya later on called machamer, which could be in the daraisa world. That's for sure usher. So shvisas behema. What about shvisas kalim? What about my vessels? Acting on Shabbos, I didn't do anything. It's just my kalim. So that's machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Pashtus, that's going to be the maskana. That Beis Shammai holds, that's also a problem. If somebody's kalim are working on Shabbos, even though they are not, and present a chiyuv to prevent that then, mashenkin, when it comes to Beis Hillel says that would be mutter. That's going to be the maskana, but let's see what the Mishnah says. Beis Shammai Yomer, Ein Shorin, Diyo V'Samanim V'Charshinim. A person is not allowed to soak Diyo, some type of ink, samanim, herbs that also are mixed with items, but karshinim, which usually means animal fodder, but here it means you're soaking in terms of getting it ready. Ela kadeshi yashumi bodyom. It has to be finished, the soaking process, from before Shabbos. If it's still soaking on Shabbos, that is a problem. What malacha is being discussed here, in terms of the shorin diyo samanim v'karshinim, that is the potential malacha of lisha, of kneading, as we'll see in the Gemara. One of the, again, the Sidur Depas, as discussed in the seventh parak, after we have the 39 malachas listed, the first 11 are Sidur Depas, included in that is the malacha of kneading. So this is kneading. You are putting a solid in with a liquid and creating a paste. That is the malacha of kneading. Beis Shammai says the kneading has to be finished before Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says no, it is not a problem as long as we did everything before Shabbos. Next, Beis Shammai Omrim a nosden unan shel pishton l'tocha tanur. A person cannot put an unin, which is a bundle of flax, into the oven in order to whiten it. This is the malacha of libun. The malacha of whitening, ela kadesha yafilu mibod yom, as long as the whitening will take place before it'll get hot enough and remove the impurities and dirt even before Shabbos. Veloas at semer liyore, and putting the semer, the wool, into the cauldron of burning hot dye. So that's another malacha, soveya. The malacha of coloring, right? Each one of these is a separate topic. Ela kadesha yiklo da'ayin, unless the coloring happens before Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel in all these cases allow it. This is the machlokas of shvisas kalim. Am I allowed to set something in motion from before Shabbos and then have it going on Shabbos? So Pashas, the Gemara says, mutter, no problem according to Beis Hillel. So let's just mention it now. We'll come back to it later. That's why I'm allowed to have my lights. Put on my light before Shabbos. Forget a Shabbos clock. Am I allowed to put on my light before Shabbos and just have it lit on Shabbos? Am I allowed to leave a hot plate on? Right? All of these. Whether it be Shammai, it would all be Usser. Because your Kalim are not allowed to do work for you on Shabbos. But we pass on like Beis Hillel that your Kalim are allowed to do malacha for you on Shabbos. That's what you ought to start. In other words, start a malacha before Shabbos and have it continue into Shabbos. Right? That is not a problem according to Beis Hillel.
That's the equivalent of El Kadeh by putting on a light.
So we're going to get to, there are certain exceptions to the rule. We're going to get to Bishul exceptions. There could be Yisurei Derabanan.
According to Beis Shammai,
According to Beis Shammai.
Let's say putting on white before Shabbos, that wouldn't be the equivalent of Ela Kedei.
I'm saying, I don't know if it's Ela Kedei, if you're putting on a light, because there, the malach is continuous. By the Kedeshi Yeshoru, the malach is finished. It's colored. It's not getting any more colored. But here the malach is continuous. I would think as long as the malach is continuously going, so that it could be a problem. Okay, that's part one. Part two says the Mishnah. Beishama Yomrim, six lines from the bottom. Beishama Yomrim, Ein Parsin, Mitsudos Chayeva, Ofos Vidagim, Ela Kadeshi Sodomi Bodyom, Malacha of Tseda, of trapping. One is not allowed to spread out a trap for any type of animal, Chayos, Ofos, and Dagim, unless, only can do that if it's trapped from before Shabbos. Trap from before Shabbos. So Beis Matir, Beis allows it. Beis allows you to set the net beforehand, even if it's trapped on Shabbos. The big question about Seida, and again, this we'll come back to in the later sugis as well. What is the malacha daraisa of Seida? When do I violate? Seida is one of the avos malachos. Right towards the avos malachos are split into four different categories. Four different categories. So Seida is in the third category, the category of making hides in order to write something on. So the first one is Seida. And it's skinning and cutting to the measured size and smoothing, all those malachas, in the process of making a hide in order to write on. So Seida, what's the malacha d'oraisa of Seida? If I put out a net on Shabbos and the animal's trapped in it half an hour later, is that the malacha d'oraisa of Seida? Did I violate? That looks kind of grumma-ish to me. What I did, nothing happened for half an hour. So is that similar to any malacha where I put something into motion? If I put a pot on the fire, it doesn't cook right away either. It takes time to be cooked. I put a seed in the ground, right? It doesn't take root right away. It takes 3 days to take root. So what about Seida? Right, by Seida, there is though a way for you to violate immediately. The other choice is, you can't cook something in a second. You can't plant it. But if I say da, maybe the malach is only if I put out the trap and that second an animal comes in. So there is that possibility. Tosfos says, ain't parson. So our Mishnah formulates it as, a machlokes on Erev Shabbos, are you allowed to put out the trap? Beis Shammai says you can't. And Beis Hillel says you can. Why? Because we're not worried. So if you would make it parallel to the other statements of the Mishnah, what are the other statements of the Mishnah? You're allowed to do something that if you would do it on Shabbos, it would be a malacha daraisa. And you're allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos because you're not commanded on Shvisas Kalim. But if that's true, then if you would put out a net on Shabbos and it would trap it later on, would that be daraisa? That's what it sounds like if you parallel it to the other cases of the Mishnah. Says Tosfos, no. Afalgav. Debishabbos nami. Impirish mitsuda enochayev chatos. Even on Shabbos, says Tosfos, this last case is not similar to the previous cases. Because even if you'd spread out a net on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayev. She'enu yodem yatsidim lav, because you don't know if it's going to be trapped. What's trapping on Shabbos? I don't know, let's say you grab an animal. Besides the Isser Durabanan of Hishtamshus Mebehema and Muksa, but then you're going to be chayiv if you grab an animal. If you actively trap an animal, right, you let an animal go into your house and you close the door, right, so there. But just putting out the net and the animal coming later says, that's not a malacha daraisa. Mikol makom, still, gazru lifrosh mitsuda, still, Beis Shammai says, you still can't do that before Shabbos, even though it's only going to be Durabanan if you do it on Shabbos. Why? Because sometimes it would be daraisa. The pa'amim asked the chiyuv chatas kagon shebeshas prisaso yield code. They like the case where, as you put out the net, it would be caught. Tachitani b'tosefta. That's what the Tosefta says. Apari suda mitsuda libehem alofin nechnas l'sochachayiv. So even though Tosfos is acknowledging that even though if you would put out the net on Shabbos and it would only be caught later, that would also only be a derabanan. But sometimes it could be a daraisa. So Beis Shammai was goes there. In that case,
does it matter if you caught something you don't want?
If you caught something that you
don't want, versus
if you caught something that you don't want, is that a malacha? That's no. What if you cook something and I got burned? Right, so you still do the malacha, even if it's that's the definition of the malacha is that you caught an animal, even if it's an animal that you don't want. Right, that's for a different area of halacha. Maybe you're thinking of the halachas in Yeridaya about doing business with non-kosher animals. So the Mishnayos, this in Shviyas somewhere at the end of Zeraim, the Mishnayos quoted in Shulchan Aruch say that if you happen to catch animals and they happen to be some non-kosher animals and the kosher animals that you caught, then you don't have to worry about it. But here, malacha is a malacha, even if it's an animal that you didn't want. Unless it's psikresha. Psikresha, if you didn't have kavana for the malacha, then it makes a difference whether you wanted it or not. Psikresha denichale or delonichale. But if you had kavana for the malacha, I don't think it makes a difference. Seda is a unique kind of halacha once we're talking about it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, in Shin Tezayin, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Shin Tezayin Yud Aleph, Mishunahi Melecha Seda Mikala Malachas. It's Mishunah, it's unusual. It is Grama-ish. So he says it's unique. There are a couple of malachas like this, not too many. But there are a couple of malachos that are, they look like Grama. We're going to have later on. The principle is if I do a malacha in an indirect way, it's only an Issa Derabanan. It's Grama-ish, that's Derabanan. But a couple of malachos look like Grama, because inherently they're Grama, but you're Chayiv anyway. One of them the Gemara calls Grama. There's one malacha that in Shas, the Gemara calls it Grama. Nowhere in Masechta Shabbos, in Masechta Baba Kama. Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Samach or so, the Gemara talks about Zorah, winnowing. What do you do by winnowing? I throw up the chaff and the seeds that I threshed, and I was all on the floor. I throw it up in the air, the wind comes and blows away the lighter stuff, and the heavier stuff falls down. So the Gemara says that's Grama. Well, compared to that, that's a Grama, you're still chayiv for that. So the Gemara says that's Grama. The Aruch HaShulchan here says, Seid is also Grama, but you still chayiv daraisa, because that's the Malacha. Mishunahi Malacha Seid Mikala Malachas. Tibichala Malacha Sarach Lasos HaMalacha. Avo Gram Malacha Eino Chayiv in HaTorah. As the Gemara says later on, Adaf Kufchaf, Filo B'Malacha Seida, Afilo Grama Asar, Gril Asar Darais, still chayiv. Why? Like if a deer goes into my house and I close the door, I'm chayiv. What did I do? I didn't touch the deer. Vizel Grama, Shrehu Loichnis is at Tzvila Bayis, El Tzvi Nichnas Me'atzmo, Vaharaku Goram Beni Ilot Adelas, that he can't go out. So he said, V'tayma Devil, so the Beseda Lemikrize Grama, why isn't this Grama? Because this is the act that the Torah describes. So you might throw in another one, which we'll talk about, Bishol. Bishol is also, I put something on the fire, I didn't do anything. The fire cooks it. So that's also Grama-like, but that you're Chayiv Daraisa, because certain Malachos inherently are Grama-like, and you're still Chayiv. Most malachas are not. If I kill an animal, al yidei grama, so that's derabanan. If I cause anything, if I cause a machine to go on, al yidei grama, right? It's derabanan. So most malachas are direct. If I do it al yidei grama, it's derabanan. But a couple of malachas look like grama. The Aruch HaShulchan says it right here about Tzeda. Again, Tzeda is an important topic. Also, the Gemara is going to talk about which types of animals are subject to Tzeda. Only animals that are normally caught. Animals that are not normally caught. Or some animals are considered nitzod va'omei. They're inherently caught already. Right? A slow turtle that is very easily caught. There's no da'ais of Tzeda there. Because it's memela caught. What? You don't have to run after it. You don't have to try hard. A cow. A cow pashtus is already caught. There's no malacha tzeda. Shmir Shabbos points this out, but it doesn't go move anywhere. It's very slow. If you have an animal that's running away, a dog, a cat, the tzeda by those. You got to know exactly how to care for one's animals on Shabbos.
Does the Aruch HaShulchan argue here?
I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan. I mean, this is a discussion in the Rishonim. Tosfos is clearly holding that it's only da'araisa once you at that moment. But if it's not at that moment, so then it wouldn't be daraisa. Other Rishonim might not agree. But the Aruch HaShulchan is saying inherently, tzeda, even if you didn't have to touch the animal, the case later on, you just close the door on the animal. Aruch HaShulchan might agree with Tosfos. Right? Putting out a trap and having something to happen half an hour later is still more grama-ish than just closing the door on an animal. Closing the door on an animal, that is a little direct. So that might be daraisa. Okay, we continue. Beis Shammai Omrim. Separate section of the Mishnah, no longer about Shvisas Kalim. Ein mochron l'nachri. I'm not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. Ve'ein to'an inimo. Or help load something onto his donkey. Ve'ein magbi'an olav. Or load something onto him. Ela kadeshi yagi'a l'akam karav. I have to have it. I'm only allowed to do this as long as they can get to where they're going before Shabbos. Where they're going before Shabbos. What will be the problem? So Rashi here says, D'nira k'misayo l'holich b'Shabbos. It appears like you're being misayeah him to carry something on Shabbos. So what's the problem if it's the non-Jews? So obviously the problem is no, people are going to think that it's yours. People are going to think that it's yours, and the non-Jews doing malach of you on Shabbos, and that would be the problem. Ube Selamatir, Ube Selamatir says no problem. You're allowed to do this. Beis Shammai Omrim, one more line. Einothen Oros La'abadon, V'lo Kelim L'Koves Nachri. You're not allowed to give Oros hides to be tanned or to a non-Jewish dry cleaner. Ela Kadesh Yasa, or any kind of washer. Ela Kadesh Yasa B'Bod Yom. Again, only it has to be done from before Shabbos. U'Bekulan Be'Silo Matirin and Hashemesh. And they all, Be'Silo Matir, as long as it's before Shabbos, right, it's not a problem. So what is this issue? This issue sounds like it's more of, it's a Marasayan, they're going to think that the non-Jew is doing Malacha for you on Shabbos, and therefore it could be a problem. Let's finish the Mishnah, and then we'll comment. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Noagin Hayu Beisaba, Shahayu Nosnin Klei Lavan L'Kovis Nachri Shloshi Yemen Kodim L'Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, in my father's house, we used to make sure to be Makvid like Beis Shammai, to give it 3 days before Shabbos. We were Makvid like Beis Shammai. Asked the Tosfos Yantif, didn't we learn in Maseches Brachas that if you act like Beis Shammai, Chayav Misa? And Rabbi Tarfin almost put himself in danger. Sikanti Basmi Pnei Alistim. So who's he to say? I was going like Beishamai. So the Tosfos Yantif here says, he doesn't quote the Gra because the Gra was after him, but we quoted this B'Shem the Gra in the 8th parak of Maseches Brachas. And that is, if there's a machloka Beishamai Beishilel and they're equal, they're just different opinions, then you can't follow Beishamai over Beishilel. Right? Kriyashma, stand or sitting. It's a machloka. So go, Beishilel says it doesn't matter. And Beis Shammai says, you have to sit. So if you're standing and you dafka go sit, that's dafka going like Beis Shammai, that's a problem. But if there's a case where Beis Hillel would also agree, or for sure in a case where Beis Hillel would agree like Achila, remember the case in the 8th parak, if you forgot to bench, do you have to go back to where you ate in order to bench or not? So Beis Hillel says you don't have to. And Beis Shammai says you do have to. And the Gemara says it was a person who went back and he found a golden... golden piece. Why? Because in that case, Beis Hillel also agrees like Achila. In that case. So here too, the Tosfos Yantif says, it's not that Beis Hillel would say, you can't give it 3 days before, so you ought to be machmir for that, fine. So he's being extra machmir. But that's not dafka going. You know, Beis Hillel wouldn't say what you're doing is wrong there. So therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, so Rosh Hashanah Leo was machmir in this case. V'shav in Eilu v'Eilu, but they both agree, and the Gemara will explain this more, Shetoanin Koros Beis Abad V'Guli Aga, that you're allowed to put on the boards, on the olive press and the grape press, you're allowed to put the boards onto the mushy grapes and olives before Shabbos, and over Shabbos, the liquid would ooze out. Why would that be mutter according to Beis Shammai? Isn't that Shvisas Kalim? So the Gemara will talk about it. The Mishnah started off with Shvisas Kalim. We pass on that's mutter. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says, as we'll see, that could be, that's usser. So what about Amir La'akum? Amir La'akum comes up later in the Gemara. So the question is there a chshash of Amir La'akum? Is that a chshash d'oraisa or a chshash d'rabbanan? 99% of Rishonim, again, today's one of those dafim that we need a couple hours, but we'll have to do what we can. Amir La'akum. So 99% of Rishonim assume that Amir La'akum is an Isser d'rabbanan. Asking a non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos is an Isser d'rabbanan. The smag, say for Mitzvah's Gadol, holds that it's an Isser d'oraisa. Osazaka malacha includes even non-Jew. So unbelievable chiddush, but that's what he holds. It's a daraisa. We don't usually assume that way. We assume that it is drabbanan. It is drabbanan based on what? Based on what? So three different opinions of the Rishonim, even within drabbanan. Rashi and Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Tesvav says it's a violation of mimso chefsach of a dabar davar. Right, you're talking to a non-Jew. You're being involved in non Shabbistic activities on Shabbos. Mimso chefsach of a dabar davar. That's what Rashi says in Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav. According to that, it sounds like if you arrange it before Shabbos, it would be okay. It's just for Dabar Dover. But we're machmer like all the opinions. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos says, Gzeira, simple. If you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha V'yor on Shabbos, you might come to do it. Right? That's the problem. Zavar Zeh, Asim Adivri. So for him, says the Rambam in Perek Vav, Kidei Shalotei Shabbos Kala Be'enehen, V'yavo Lasos B'atzman. You might come to do it yourself. But a similar idea is stated in a different context, and that is having somebody, you know, asking if there is a Ben Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael, on Yantav Sheni, right, asking a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do Malach of you. If a Ben Eretz Yisrael does it himself, then that's one thing. But asking him to do it, so that already it'll cause zilzal and it can lead to other worse issues. Right? Shabbos Kala Be'enayim. But the Rambam holds Gzeira. The other Shita is a different Rashi. Rashi on the first Amud of the last Parak in Shabbos. Later on, Rashi on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Kuf Nun Gimel Ben Aleph. Rashi says, Shlichus, which is a Chiddush. Rashi says on a Drabana level, maybe he's your Shliach. And therefore, you can't do malacha because you're doing malacha through him. Is there shlichas for a non-Jew? Is there shlichas l'chumra for a non-Jew? That's a big topic, but that is the Rashi. Vayu shlucho lisa end of Shabbos. It's Rashi in Shabbos Kufin Gimel. So Rashi in Avodah Zarah Tesvav, Rashi here in Shabbos Kufin Gimel, and the Rambam, the three different approaches to the Isser Drabanan of Amir Lakum. Again, that's all against the smog that holds its daraisa. We assume it's Drabanan. That's why we would allow cases of shvus to shvus, a non-Jew doing an Isser Drabanan for me, if there is a Makam Mitzvah, Tzarech Gadol, Hefsin Meruba, anytime where there's one of those Tzrachim, so we would allow a non-Jew to do a Durabanan. Shvus to Shvus Makam Choli. Right? For example, a non-Jew doing a Isser Durabanan, right, for a Jew, even for a Cholash Ein Bo Sakana. A non-Jew is allowed to do an Isser Durabanan for a Cholash Ein Bo Sakana. I'm sorry, even for a Yesh Bo Sakana, even a Jew could do a... You can do whatever you want. The Jew could get in the car for a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana. But if for a Cholash Ein Bo Sakana, the halacha is a non-Jew could do a... there's even one that's up. A Jew could do a Drabanan, and a non-Jew could even do a Daraisa. Take it back what I said. Cholash Ein Bo Sakana, a non-Jew could drive to the pharmacy and get medicine. The next level down is Shvus to Shvus Makam Choli if it has to do a Drabanan. Okay, Bezrin, we'll get back to later in the Masechta, the four categories of Cholim on Shabbos. Okay, Gemara. Mantana Nisines Mayim Lidyo Zuhi Shriyasan. What did the Mishnah say in the first case? Soaking certain types of items that would be the lead to the malacha of Lisha, of kneading. Who says that just putting the ingredients together is already the malacha? Because kneading, as we know, there are two stages of kneading. First I have flour and water. So first stage is putting them together, putting the flour and the water into the same bowl. Already a certain type of connection starts then. After that is what we call kneading, and that is the mushing it together, of the actively kneading it. But that's already stage two. Stage one is just pouring it together, and already the becoming a davar gush echad, already starts then. So what's the rice on Shabbos? What if I just put the liquid and the flour together? Is that the malacha? That's a machlokas tanoim. Says the Gemara. And our Mishnah sounds like just adding it together, because it says shorin. And we assume whatever you're doing beforehand is a parallel daraisa on Shabbos. That's what we assume, even though the later case is not, possibly by Tzeda. So Matan and Nesidas Mayim Lidyo, Zuhi Shriyasan, who says that? Amar of Yosef, Rebbe Hi. It's Rebbe Shita, Ditanya. Echad anosin es hakemach, v'echad anosin es hamayim. Ha'achron chayev. Rebbe says, whoever puts in the second ingredient is chayev. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Yosi Omer, or Brosi Rebbe Yehuda Omer. Eno chayev ashi yigabel. No, you're not chayev until you actually need, that they actively need, right? This machlokas comes up here, and it comes up later on, kufnan pei, all the way at the end, right? 2 days, that's machlokas tanaim. So that's why our Mishnah sounds like Rebbe. Omer le'abaya v'dilma, no, maybe not true. Ad kan l'kam Rebbe Yosi. When does Rebbe Yosi say you actually have to need it? Elo bekemach, debar gibelhu. Maybe that's by something that is needable, something that you usually need. Right, you have flour and water, and when you mush them together, it becomes one dough. Avol dio de lav bar gibel hu ema lechayiv. But by ink, it's not really kneadable. It's not really okay. It's some type of solid that gets mixed into the liquid, but it's not a bar gibel. So maybe he would say ema lechayiv. Maybe if it's not really kneadable, maybe you're chayiv even before you need it. So that's why maybe you shouldn't say it's limited to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no, lo salkataitach, detanya, because another brisa says, echad anosin es ha'efer, v'echad anosin es ha'mayim, if somebody puts the ashes in, and somebody puts the water in, ha'achron chayiv, divrei Rebbe, Rebbe again says, immediately, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda Omer Achi Yagabel. No, he even says Achi Yagabel, even though ashes aren't really kneadable. They don't, what do you mean kneadable? They don't really form one gush. It's much more liquidy. Right? It doesn't form one gush like flour and water. So that's why, you see, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda requires the act of kneading, even by something that is not really kneadable. So Gemara says, "V'dilma my afar afar debar gibelhu." Maybe afar in this context really means afar. Aleph and ayin sometimes gets mixed up and switched. So maybe really he means afar dirt, and that is kneadable. But really, by something that's not kneadable, you wouldn't require kneading. So Gemara says, "No, v'hatanya afar v'hatanya afar." There are two different brises. One says afar, and one says afar. So how can you say what it means afar? So the Gemara says, Midi Gabi Adadi Tanya. You're right, it's two different brises. So the afar one means afar, and maybe the afar one also means afar. It's not like it's in the same brisa where you have to say it means two different things. So lo maskana, we don't know what his shita is, and it could be Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say that it is usur just putting it in if the item is not kneadable. Again, the malacha of Lisha comes up many times. Lamaisa, lamaisa, we paskin that both stages are usur, at least Rabbanan. Who do we paskin like? That also is a machlokas rishonim. Who we paskin like? The Shulchan Aruch quotes two days. Who we paskin like? The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Shin Chaf Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chaf Aleph quotes two different opinions. Who is the halacha? Who is the halacha like? Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Tezayin. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shachalayim, Shadachan Meirav Shabbos, v'chula v'chula, and he says you can't put it in. It has v'yesh omrim, that you're not allowed to put it in and mix it. Whatever, two different days in the Shulchan Aruch, what we paskin. Either way, l'maisa, the Bir Halacha points out, even the first stage is at least asa d'rabanan. Even just putting it in the first stage. So, that's an important malacha. It comes up whenever you want to knead something. There are two different types of mixtures on Shabbos. The d'oraisa type of mixture and the d'rabanan type of mixture, what's called belila ava and belila racha. Somebody makes a very thick mixture, thick oatmeal, a thick type of paste, that is a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. If somebody does a more liquidy mixture, so then somebody's baking a liquid cereal for a baby, and liquidy, so that could be an issa d'rabanan, because it's not d'oraisa, it's more, if it ends up as mamish liquid, there's no lisha there. There's no lisha if it ends up as liquid, right, making iced tea on Shabbos. There's no lisha there, because it ends up as a liquid. But if it's somewhat thicker than that, so it could be an issue of lisha, at least on the Rabbanan levels. That's why what is done, let's say somebody has to make, it's always best to make these before Shabbos. So we always say, but let's say somebody wants to make tuna fish on Shabbos. So there's an issue of lisha, because you're putting the tuna with the mayonnaise, if you're going to put mayonnaise in. Right, so what do you do? Or somebody has to make, whatever the case may be, somebody for something for a child. That is, you know, you're adding a liquid and a solid, right? Certain cases should totally be stayed away from. I don't know, making those instant potatoes. Yeah, that's lisha. We shouldn't do that. Or oatmeal. If one has oatmeal, that's when one has to be very, very careful. It's probably best not to do it, unless if it's the only thing the child eats. But in the case where it needs to be done, three issues to remember. Number one, make it liquidy. As liquidy as you can. So you're only in the world of Durabanan. Number two, the poskim say, do two shinuyim. Most of the time, when you do a malacha b'shinui, it just bumps it down to a drabanan. Just a drabanan. Still asur, but it's drabanan. Once in a while, and you have to look in Chazal for this, right? We can't decide. Once in a while, if you do a malacha b'shinui, Chazal say it's so different from the tzuras ha-malacha, it becomes mutter. Lisha is one of them. That if you do it in an unusual way, how do you do lisha in an unusual way? 2 points. Number one, first make it liquidy so it's only in the world of drabanan. It's not something thick. It's not belila ava, it's belila racha. Number two shinuyim. How do you do two shinuyim? First of all, whatever you usually put in the bowl first, you put the opposite in first. Let's say somebody's making cereal for a baby, right? So what do you put usually in, the powder in or the liquid in? I would say usually people put the powder in first. So first you put the liquid in, and then you put the powder in. And number two, usually when we stir something, we go in circles. When we stir something, we go in a circle. So instead, make X's instead of doing it in a circle. The baby needs that to eat. It's the only thing to eat. So if I make it liquidy and I do the opposite order and I do X's, so that would be. So for the tuna fish, usually put the tuna in before the mayonnaise. So best to make tuna fish before Shabbos. But if not, so put the mayonnaise in before the tuna fish. And then when you mash it, just make crisscrosses instead of around. What about the grinding of the tuna fish? The mashing it, is that tochein? So that's not a problem. Ain't tochein ela b'gdula karka. Right? Fish don't grow from the ground, so the tochein is not the issue. But the leash is an issue. So that's why you have to know exactly how to do it. Okay. Baiter. Taner Rabbanan. Not for now. Efer and Afar, the Beis Halevi, Vanochi Afar va'Efer. Right? If we have time at the end, which I doubt, feel free to look at the Beis Halevi on next week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayera. What are the differences between Ofer and Efer? Avram Avidu. Tana Rabbanan. Poskin Mayim Legina. Erev Shabbos in Chashecha. I'm allowed to open up my water, what we would call a sprinkler. Put on the sprinkler on Friday in order to have it going on Erev on Shabbos. Umizmalis Valechas Kalayim Kulo. And it could be going the whole day. Umanichen Mugmar Tachas Akelim. And I'm allowed to put spices under begadim. We have this in Maseches Brachos. Also, the final processing stage of begadim used to be, they used to put like something that smells good, spices, good aroma under the begadim, and then it would like seep into the begadim that were up above. So I'm allowed to do that before Shabbos. Set it up. Umizgamrin v'holchin kol yom kulo. Good. Umanichin gafris tachas akelim. I'm allowed to put sulfur under kelim. Umizgafrin v'holchin kol Shabbos kulo. Also part of the process. Umanichin kilar al gabi ayin v'ispalanas al gabi maka. So again, this is a different than the previous cases. The previous cases, if you would do it on Shabbos, it would be daraisa. This case, would it be daraisa? What issue are we talking about? So it depends. Some say, what does it mean? Kilar, I'm allowed to put a type of oy ointment on my eye, v'ispolanas lagabi maka, and a bandage on my maka, on Friday, v'misrapes v'olechas kolayim kulo, even though you get healed on Shabbos. So you might say this is not parallel, because the whole issue here is the chash of refuah on Shabbos, which we're going to have later, is only in the Siddur Rabbanan on Shabbos. The Ritva, though, here makes it parallel. The Ritva says the issue here is meruach, mimareach, smearing the ointment. So that's why you're allowed to do this beforehand, because if you were doing it on Shabbos, it could be daraisa. Aval, that is all. So that's, and look, Beis Shammai doesn't argue here. So we're going to have to talk about that. Does he agree that these are okay?
You could use, like in the case of the kelim or the clothes, you could use them on Shabbos?
Oh, you use them on Shabbos. You're allowed to put things in the dryer before Shabbos, and the dryer will go off on Shabbos, and then take it out on Shabbos. We'll get the dryers anyway. But Pashas is if they're ready on Shabbos, yeah. Shvisas Kalim is right. If you pass it as mutter, then it doesn't matter. Aval a nosin chitim l'toch harechaim shalmayim ela b'chtei sheyitchenu mibod yom. But you can't put wheat into a grinder unless it's ground before Shabbos. Why? My taima amar Rabba mipnei shemashma'as kol, because it makes noise. It makes noise, and therefore what? Rashi says the lashon here. Mipnei shemashma'as kol va'av shemilsa b'Shabbos. The ikazilusa. Rashi says, literally, the thing gets known. Av shamilsa. People hear a loud machine in your house on Shabbos. It's zilusa. It's disgraceful for Shabbos. Or, other Rishonim say, it means because people might think you turned it on Shabbos. It's a loud machine going on your house on Shabbos. That's inappropriate. So mashma's kol. Let's finish the section, and then we'll come back. Amalei Rav Yosef, v'lei mamar mishum shvisas kelim. Rav Yosef said, well, why don't you just say shvisas kelim? D'tanya, uv'chol asher amarti alechem tisha meiru l'rabo shvisas kelim. Why do you have to say it's hashma askol? What about shvisas kelim? So el amar Rav Yosef, mishum shvisas kelim, really is asa mishum shvisas kelim. And all the early, meaning we're totally turning everything on its head right now for this stage of the Gemara, that really, the stama de brisa holds there is an Isser Shvisas Kalim. And even according to Beis Hillel. So why are all these cases mutter in the brisa? V'hasha dama le Beis Hillel islu Shvisas Kalim de brisa. Gafris umugmar my time asharu. So why are those cases mutter? Mishum delokav in maisa. Because you're not doing anything. You didn't do an act. Even the Isser Shvisas Kalim is the only way you do you take an active part in what's going on. Here you put the clothing on top of the sweet smelling stuff and it just goes in by itself. Same thing with some of the cases in the Mishnah, where what you're doing is you're just putting a bundle in the oven, and then it happens by itself. You're not actively doing something. But there you're putting out the trap. No, that's a case where all you did was put out the trap, but the trap kind of collapses on the animal by itself. So all these cases where you didn't do a maisa. So the Gemara says, "V'hasha d'amar of Oshi amar of Asi mantan shvisas kelim d'oraisa beis Shammai v'lo beis Hillel." But we don't pass in that way. We pass in that only beis Shammai holds a shvisas kelim, not beis Hillel. So once you say that, so how do you? Why would beis Shammai say all the previous cases are mutter? Le beis Shammai bein kavin ma'isa bein delo kavin ma'isa aser. Beis Shammai says aser across the board. Le beis Hillel avigav to kavin ma'isa shari, and beis Hillel says mutter across the board. Period. V'hashta dama le beishamei avav d'lo kavin ma'isa aser. So if according to beishamei, it's always aser. Ihachi mugmar v'gafres ma'itam ashara beishamei. So why does he allow these nice incense cases? He didn't argue in the brisa. So why does he allow these? Hasa manacha ara. You have to say, those are cases where it wasn't in a kli. A person put the spices on the floor, and the kelim are up above. So he doesn't have a kli working for him on Shabbos. That's why it's mutter. I gigis v'ner v'kter v'shpod my taima sharo beishamai. There are other cases of your barrel, a ner, right, the pot. All of those beishamai also matirs, what you have to say is, demafkelahu afkure, semicolon. He was mafkir those kalim in those cases. You're right, if it was his kalim, it would be aser. Beishame allows it if he was mafkir the kalim. Was he mafkir the kalim? What if you didn't see him mafkir the kalim? So once we're here, look at Tosfos, demafkure lahu afagav. To Amar ben Adarim, to be on hefker bifnei gimel, even though, don't you have to be mafkir in front of three people? And here he didn't. Hacha lo be'inon. Here you don't need that. Why? De mistama mafkir lahu. Mistama were mafkir because we assume he doesn't want to violate the halacha. And therefore, even though he wasn't mafkirit, we can halachically say he was mafkirit. We can assume he was mafkirit. Vein lismo chalzeh, but you shouldn't rely on this to rent out, I'm going to rent out something to a non-Jew and be mafkirit. Because I don't want to violate the halacha if my animals are doing malacha. So you can't rely on that because halacha shiny. Here there's no choice. Okay, that is Tosos in terms of we could assume that automatically there was hefker done. The Rashba here says hefker, bezin, hefker. Bezin is mafkerit. And not just the person. Again, hefker is a huge discussion. Why would hefker require in front of three? Again, not our topic now, but we've discussed in the past. How do you look at the mechanism of hefker? If I'm mafker something, am I actively doing something, or I'm being machna it to no man's land? I'm being machna it to the rishus of the rabbim? Or am I just removing my own rishus and mamela becomes a hefker? Right? Am I just being misalik myself? Many nafkaminis to that question. Right? First and foremost, what about a katan? If I'm mafkir something and a katan picks it up. Right, is that, according to some Rishonim, a Kohen can acquire Dalraisa if somebody gave it to him, somebody was mocking it to him. So it might depend how you look at Hefker. Okay, let's go back. Avshamilsa is a huge topic. It comes up. Having machinery work in your house on Shabbos. So what do you say about, well, two steps. Number one is Avshamilsa, leaving it from before Shabbos. A secondary discussion is, what about Shabbos clocks? Setting it to go on Shabbos. Is that better or worse? Is that better or worse than leaving it on from before Shabbos? So on the one hand, right, it's, if I leave it on Shabbos, I did something on Shabbos, now I'm finished. Here, I dafka set it, and it's going to go on Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's more of a zilzal. Right here, so you put something into effect that it's going to activate on Shabbos? Maybe if you did something on Shabbos and it's going from before Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos, okay. But Rav Moshe says if you set a time, okay, it's grama at most, but you actively did something, grama of kalim? So we paskin shvisas kalim as mutter anyway. But Rav Moshe says, you're right, if it's from before Shabbos, but this is even worse. So if you want to leave your light on before Shabbos, Rav Moshe is fine. But Rav Moshe was very uncomfortable with Shabbos clocks.
Is it Avshamilsa?
No, before that, because of Zilzal. Even lights, Rav Moshe was against. Right, in Arachayim, Chelek, Dalid, Simin, Samach. This is in 1977. Rav Moshe is very... He's not into it. Lani yatadi pashit shasul lahatir. The idea moresh shaos kazeh yichom lasos komalachas b'shabes ubachol bati acharoshes factories ve'en lecha zilzul gadol shabes bizeh. Just put everything on a timer. Business as usual. Just put it on a timer. Ubarer shem hayazeh bizman atanoim ba'amorayim haya osrin zeh. Kamosha asra amir la'akim itam zeh. I think they would have asr timers, says Rav Moshe. The gam ulai zeh bechlal iser zeh to asr amir lakum. To asr komo lachan nasis bishvil Yisrael. Misad amiris Yisrael. Vekoshke misad maisa the Yisrael. Maybe this is worse than amir lakum. He's acting because of my words. What about because of my actions? So Rav Moshe is very against. Aval hecha shadayin lo shach lahakshiv kinasa malacha v'chula v'chula. And he continues. And then he says, at the end, but what can I do? What can I do? And he says, "Al kapanim, mashik far nagu lahamid idim moresh shaos lachabos haneiros dalektri shehudlaku v'kam shiachsu lehidalik achab sof ayom ein lesser meyachas lekibi haneiros lemanoros shagadolish nekru belaz lamps shiudeish gadol nader b'chol." Everybody does it. So once everybody does it, and they do it in the shuls, and they do this, so mistama, that's not a zilzal anymore. It's only a zilzal if it's like not expected, but it must not be a zilzal, said Rav Moshe. So even though he's fundamentally against it, but it must not be a zilzal. That is Rav Moshe. But what about other machines? What about other machines? So this is the zilzal issue. But if you couple the zilzal issue with With what? With Avsha Milsa issue. So that is the general issue of having loud machines during work for me on Shabbos. What about having the washing machine that's still on from before Shabbos? So one shouldn't have that going on Shabbos. If it's going to end before the 18 minutes, before the 20 minutes, it's not a problem. It's not Shabbos yet. But one shouldn't have a loud machine going in there in their rishus on Shabbos. What about dishwashers? So Tzomet recently came out with a dishwasher that is Shabbos enabled. What does that mean? What's the issue? What about if I set my dishwasher on a machine? The problem with a dishwasher, number one, is the Avsha Milsa problem if it makes noise, and number two is the issue of the security latch. Security latch is a dishwasher will not go on. Even if I set it to go on, it will not go on unless the dishwasher is closed. Won't go on because of security. So I have to close the dishwasher. Right when I close the dishwasher, then security latch kicks in, and then my meal is going to go on. So that's the problem. Even if I would set it, so that would be a problem. So Tzomet came up with an ein fal, a chiddush, that you could come up that no security latch. It's going to go on even if your dishwasher is open. Right? That's what they came up with. So you set it at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's going to go on, so nobody's going to be around anyway. So that's their chiddush. That's what they say is the dvar heter on Shabbos. That's why some poskim say it is not a problem. In the others, though, are not as supportive of it. First of all, what? So there's no security on this? Chamira sakanta meisura. You know, if anybody has little children in the house, you know, it's you're going to open it and the boiling hot water is going to go all over the place. And do you want to take that chance? Number one, plus Rav Moshe's whole zilzal in general. You know, people aren't, dishwashers, we're not at that stage where it's so common that people have dishwashers on the, so are there poskim that say it's mutter, but also there are a number of poskim that are somewhat, at least for Ashkenazim. Svardim, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Avsha Milsa. And Rav Avadya Paskin, the Machlokas here, which opinion we Paskin, so Svardim have more flexibility. But in terms of Ashkenazim, the Ramah quotes Avsha Milsa. The Ramah quotes clocks. What about a chiming clock? So the Ramah says, everybody has those chiming clocks. That's like lights, Bizman Hazeh. That's why it's not a problem. Or that's what the Ramah talks about in Reish Nun Beis. Anyway, that is an important discussion of dishwashers and others. The Rav Ovadia has a tshuva about a mechona kfisa. What about a washing machine? It's a case where a bunch of chayalim came back to their house right before Shabbos, and they have to leave right after Shabbos. So the question is, can you throw the stuff in before Shabbos? You're not going to be. See, he says for Svardim for sure. There's no Avsha Milsa for Svardim. Therefore, and he says here, even the Ramah would agree. It's Sara Gadol. The Ramah says Yesh Lahachmir, but Sara Gadol, they have to go back to their base right after Shabbos, and so he allowed it in that case. Even for Ashkenazim, he would say. Okay. Again, there's a lot here, but we have to continue. Mantana, third line. Mantana, hadatana rabbanan. Lo tamali isha kedera asasios v'tormasin v'taniach l'tokha tana erev Shabbos ha'kashecha. You shouldn't put these beans or other types of legumes on the fire before Shabbos. V'im nasan, and if you did, meaning you violated nisa d'rabbanan. You cannot violate a Nisa Daraisa without acting on Shabbos. We're going to mention that 10 times. I'll mention it now. Right? There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin that says it explicitly. You cannot violate a Malacha Daraisa on Shabbos without acting on Shabbos. So anything before Shabbos is what's going to be Durabanan. So here, if you put it on the fire, Vim Nasan Lamotse Shabbos, Asuran Bechle Shiyasu. Here we have the first time in this Besechta, the principle of Bechle Shiyasu. Maisa Shabbos. If I do a Malacha on Shabbos, I'm fined, and I'm not allowed to get benefit from it until the time after Shabbos when I could have done the malacha after Shabbos. Bechlei Sheyasu. Kayotze bo, similarly, lo yimali adam, lo yimali nachtom, chavish shamayim, yaniach l'toch hataner, erev Shabbos em chashecha. A baker cannot warm up water, put it in right before Shabbos, and it cooks on Shabbos. V'masa ken lamotei Shabbos asurim bechlei Sheyasu. So all these cases, lema beishamahi v'lo beishilel, in all these cases, it's shvisas kelim, isn't it? You're talking about putting things in the oven on erev Shabbos. That should be mutter according to Beis Hillel. Answer, no, exception. Afilu teme Beis Hillel, gzeira shem yechata b'gecholim. Even Beis Hillel would agree here because of the isra of shem yechata. You might come to stoke the coals. This is an exception to the heter of Shvisas Kalim discussed at length at the beginning of the third parak. So we're not going to do it right now, but at the beginning of Kira, we're going to talk all about Shehiyah and Hachazara. Bishul B'Shabbos gets its own half a parak in this Pesachta. The third parak is Bishul and Muksah. So Shem Yechata we'll get to there. So Ihachi, so even when it comes to Bishul issues, even Erev Shabbos, Beis Hillel would aser in certain circumstances. Ihachi, Mugmar, Begafris, Nami, Ligzer. So what about those cases we had earlier about putting nice smelling things into your clothes. So no, hasam lafi luhu, there you're not going to stoke. There's a reason you're not going to stoke the coals there. And forget it, Shabbos. The imachdi salakbu kutra vakashilu. Because if you stoke, it's going to cause the smoke to go up, and you don't want your clothes to smell like smoke. So we're not worried that you're going to stoke there. Unin shal pishta nami nigzar. What about the case of the putting the flax into the oven? No, hasam kiven takashilu zika lo magli le. Same thing. There, if you lift up the cover of the fire and you start stoking, that's going to cause a draft and it's going to ruin the whole process. So again, it's mutter. If there's any reason that you're not going to stoke, then we allow it. Samer lo yara ligzar. What about the samer, the wool in the pot? Amar Shmuel be yara akura. We're talking about an open yara. So therefore, the same thing. I'm sorry, yara akura, a yara that is off. And akura, it is off the fire. So you're right. If it would be on the fire, it would be a problem. It's akura. It's a kli rishon shehusar me'al ha'esh. V'necha shema megizba. Why aren't we worried that you might come to stir it, even if it's off the fire? And we know there's malacha that's potential even after it's off the fire. Which malacha? So Tosfos here, it's the malacha of tsoveya. It can still color if it's boiling hot dye. Or others might say it's bishul, depending on which case you're talking about. Isn't there malacha shayach even after it's off the fire? No, ba'akura v'tocha. It's off the fire, and tocha, it is closed shut. It is closed shut, and therefore, there's no worry that you are going to do anything. Period. Good. V'hashta. This halacha, the final halacha in terms of Hilchos Bishul, only appears here. This is not in the third parak. That which we said, the issue of shehiyah. Shehiyah is the world of Isser Durabanan, of how you're allowed to leave items on heat sources before Shabbos. So there are various Isser Durabanan, which we'll talk about. But this is a big heter, which as we see doesn't apply to Maisa. But it's a big heter. Hai kedei rechaisa, a pot of raw food. If it's totally, totally raw, you're allowed to leave it before Shabbos. Why? My time. Because it's totally raw, it's not going to be ready tonight anyway. So we're not worried that you're going to stoke the coals or make the fire bigger in order to make it ready, because it's totally raw. And therefore, if it's not going to be ready until tomorrow, you will just leave it. Most poskim say that heter does not apply today, because we have much quicker cooking ovens and stoves. And something could get ready in 2 hours, even if it's totally raw. And it'll be ready for tonight. So to say that you have the heter like in the olden days, when you just throw in a raw vegetable or a raw piece of meat into the chalon right before Shabbos, and you have to worry about anything, we assume, we don't see Pesach already, 75 years ago, 80 years ago said that you don't have that heter b'zman hazeh, because our ovens are much quicker cooking. And therefore, you don't have the heter of kedera chaisa, as it's called. Upishol shaper dummy, but if something is already mubushel, it's called sarcho, the other extreme. According to the Gemara, if it's totally raw, it's mutter. If it's totally cooked already, it's also mutter, because it's already cooked. What do you have to make the fire bigger for? Bashel below bashel aser. If it's somewhere in the middle, it's aser. What does the middle mean? That's what we have to talk about in the third parak. Vishadabe garmachaya shaper dummy. If the whole pot is raw, if you throw in a raw bone, it's mutter. Same svar before, because you're going to be mesech das. Period. Now that we've said that any time that you're cooking something, that a draft will be bad for it, then you won't reveal it. So the following cases are mutter. Hai bisra de gadya ushrik. Basar, meat of gadya, a goat. Ushrik, and it is sealed. Shaper dami, it's for sure mutter. Because you don't want the draft, and it's sealed. So there's no worry you're going to stoke. Debarcha velo sharik aser. Debarcha is a type, it's meat of a large ram. So a draft won't affect it. And it's open, it's not sharik closed. Aser. If you have two reasons laheter and two reasons laser. What about the middle cases? The gadia veloshark, the barcha vesharik. It's the type of meat that a giraffe would hurt it, but it's not sealed shut. Or it's the type of meat that a giraffe won't hurt it, but it is sealed shut. Ravashi shari, Rav Yirmi Difti Usr. So machlokas, if you only have one factor. Or Ravashi Dashari, according to Ravashi, he says it's mutter of Hatznan. Didn't we learn later in the parak on tomorrow's daf? Ain sol and bus will base el kadesh yisul mi bodyom. You see, it has to be ready beforehand. So you see, it's aser. No hasam debar chavalo sharik. That's talking about a case where you have both problematic factors. You have meat which a draft won't affect, and it's not covered. One version, ika da amri or de gadya. If you have the meat that a draft is mazik bein sharp bein lo sharak shaperdami. It's mutter because you're not going to do it, even if it's open, because the draft's going to hurt it. The barchanami b'sharak shaperdami. If it's meat that a draft would not affect, and it's close shot, that's mutter. Then you have both factors leheter. Ki pligi de barcha v'lo sharak. The machlokas is only about this case. It's the type of meat that a draft won't affect, but it's not sealed shut. The Ravashi Shari Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti Aser. Older Ravashi, same question. Deshari Vatnan, Eitzol and Basar Basal Beitza. You cannot roast meat, onions, or eggs. Elekdeshi Yisulmi Bodyom. I thought he said that's mutter. The Gemara answered no. Hasam Bibisra Agumri. That case is where it's on open coals. Open coals! So you're really worried. If you have an open fire, then you might come to stoke it. Amar Avina, Hai Kra Chaya, a raw gourd. A vegetable, shaper dummy. Same thing like a raw piece of meat we said before. Kiva Takashi Le Zika Kibisra the Gadi dummy. Right, then it's since a draft would be mazik it, would affect it, so it's like Bistra the Gadi, and therefore we can assume that you won't stoke it, period. So Lamaise have a lot of details here, but the fundamental principle that comes out is if there is a type of food that I'm making, that there's a good reason for me to assume I'm not gonna touch the coals, so then it's mutter. Most of the time, it's not that. Most of the time, we are worried, and therefore, as we'll learn in the third parak, you need a type of hecker. You need some type of reminder so that you don't come to soak the coals. But that's the sugya of gzeira shema yechata. Again, we'll talk about how cooked, macho ben drusa, a third cook, a half cook, fully cooked, all the different sugyas that come up then. Okay, but this gets us a little bit into bishul, and by the way, tomorrow we talk about other malachas, as we'll see, in terms of onik Shabbos, going on trips before Shabbos, arranging appointments dafka on Friday. You know, is that a bit of onik Shabbos? You know, the kids have half a day, so... Anyway, we'll get to some of those sugyas. Hashem, tomorrow's daf. Hashem, two more dafim to this first parak, and then we get into Bama Malikim. Hashem, so the daf, scheduling-wise, through Wednesday, I'm here, and then Thursday, Friday, there won't be daf online, hopefully from the last cycle, and then Hashem will pick up Sunday, Monday, I'll have to put online, Sunday I'll be giving from Tinek, but then Monday, I'll figure it out, and Tuesday we'll be back here. Okay, that's next week, but this week is normal, Bez Hashem, next couple of days. Every week is normal, every week is amazing, but... Take it day by day.